Open your Bibles, please, to the book of St. John. I preached this morning the first time in 6 months, and it was so good. Oh, I don't know whether my preaching is that good or not, but I enjoyed preaching. Amen. I enjoyed preaching. I really did. In the book of John, chapter 3, of course, all of you know, this is a new birth chapter. The new birth. You must be born again. In chapter 3 and verse 7, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. He put the emphasis on the new birth. Now tonight, he never said you must be a Baptist. He did not say you must be this or be that or be the other. But he expressed explicitly that there must be a transformation in your life. Now, the problem with a lot of folks tonight is they've got religion just enough to make them miserable. They're unhappy. I've said this over and over and over, and I know it's a little funny statement. But when you stand where I've stood for all of these years, some of the most miserable people by their looks you'll ever see is on Sunday morning in church. There is no joy when God said, I want you to have joy. God said, I want your joy to be full. You know the one thing you ought to examine yourself by tonight to find out whether you're saved or not is whether you're happy. There's another thing you ought to find out. Do you have any peace in your heart? Peace is one of the essential ingredients that tells you I have been transformed by the power of God. I want to say this tonight, and I want you to listen to me. When I was born the first time, I was born in sin. The Bible said, in sin I was conceived. I was a sinner. And the truth about it is, every one of you were too. Now, I know when I get that close, I better explain this or somebody will start thinking about me in a Calvinistic term. I want you to know tonight that every little baby that's born is in a strategic place of being safe until it reaches the age of accountability, whatever that is. Little babies don't go to hell. There's not one there. But the instant that little child, maybe at his mother's knees, maybe in an old-fashioned church, the instant that child sees itself a sinner, lost, and it may not be able to explain all the details of that. It just knows. Let me say this to you. The day I saw myself lost, I didn't know anything about the virgin birth I didn't know anything. I just knew I was a sinner. At 13 years old. On my website, if you want to see a handsome little 13-year-old young man, Guess who? No remarks to him. At 13 years old, in a school, in a church house, I'd come from the school that day, back in those days when they had a revival and they had daytime services, I then dismissed the schools, and now then you can't even have a prayer in school. And the teacher, Miss Prince, took me to school, the coal class. On the way to school, I was bigger than most of the other kids. I've always been large for my age. And she walked along by the side of me, and I was a shy young man, like I still am. And she said, Ed, one day the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart about your soul. I'll say some more about that in a minute. And sure enough, that day, old Brother Kearney, old Preacher Kearney, got up and preached the gospel to my heart and to the heart of the rest of that church. I was deeply seized by the Holy Ghost. I was aware that I was lost. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say convicted? It simply means you see yourself a sinner, guilty before a holy God. You did. Now that day I come to that age of accountability. That day I was, the first time I was born, September the 15th, 1924, I was born in sin. But now at that birth in Polk County, Tennessee, I was born to sight. Now, I want to say this to you. God did not transform this body of flesh and make it sinless. God did not transform me and make me a person without any sin. This flesh is still just as much flesh as it was in Polk County that day. But that day, bless His wonderful name, my name was registered in the annals of glory and wrote down, saved by grace, a saint. We are saints not because of transformation of us in our flesh, but we're saints because we are born in the saintly body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. First time I was born, in sin. My second birth, I was born a saint. The first time I was born blind. Blind. My eyes could not see any need, any awareness of any change. I was a baby. I was a sinner born in sin that first time. But thank God, bless His wonderful name. When I was born the second time, I was like blind Bartimaeus on the road. I could see. I could see. Transformed, made new. You know, the sad thing that tells me a lot of folks aren't saved, they can't see nothing wrong with anything. They can't. You say, don't you see the bad in that? Well, I don't see nothing. You know why? They're blind. Can't see. If you go around, now let me just name some things. There's a lot of church folks. Notice I said church folks. You did hear me, didn't you? Church folk. Remember, that means people that are members of a religious body. I don't mean people that are a member of the body of Christ. I mean people that are religious, and this world's full of religion. There's folks today that honestly are, they see no harm in drinking alcohol. They don't see no harm in it. They don't. Why? They're blind. But you let them get saved, transformed, born again, and God will open their eyes to see it. You believe that? I know some folks that, you didn't know I was going to say this, that used to come to this church right here. They came faithful, put money in. I believe one time this, maybe sang in the choir. One day your pastor got up and preached on the sin of men and women just living together. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. We're married. No. No, that's not right. God has a sanctity and a holiness in marriage.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But they don't see no wrong in it. But when you get born again, God opens your eyes and lets you see. There's folks that, you know, they don't see nothing wrong with nothing. Now, some of you act like you want to take that computer back, but you ain't getting it. So, I was born first in sin, then the second time I was born a saint. Next time I was born, I was born blind. Second time I was born, I can see. But then notice something else. When I was born the first time, I was dead. Am I right? Dead in trespasses and sins. Now, see, don't argue with the Bible. I'm just right like me. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But the second time I was born, hallelujah, I'm alive. The Bible said, you hath he quickened. That means made alive. You who was dead in trespasses, he has quickened you, made you alive. Thank God for that. But now then, let me just hurry on. I'm getting tired. First of all, the second next thing I want to look at, I was born a slave. I was a slave. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to everything the devil and his crowd had. If he had it, I was part of it. I mean that. I'm telling the truth. How many of you were a slave one time to something? He had the shackles on you. He had the ball and chain on you. You were a slave. You were a prisoner. You were his crowd. But thank God. Hallelujah. Whom the Son has made free. Why, we're what? We're free indeed. I'm not on his payroll no more. I don't have to go up to his office and get my paycheck. Thank God. Hallelujah. I am free. I'm free. Oh, thank God. Don't that just sound good? I'm free. You that are saved, you that know Christ, you that have been born again, you that have been blood washed, you that have the Spirit of God in you, I want you to say this good and loud. I'm free. Free! I don't owe the devil a thing. I do not owe that booger a thing. Amen? I've stumbled. I've fallen, I've made mistakes, I've blundered, but in Christ I'm free. Something else. First time I was born in darkness. But I thank God tonight, I'm in the light. Oh, that blessed Spirit of God, that blessed power of God. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. The Bible said men, that's men that are not saved, men that don't know Christ, love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Thank God. I'm glad tonight. I can say there has been a transformation in my life. I'm glad there was a day, August the 27th, 1935, that God transformed my life. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ. Now, let me stop right there and say this. Not only am I in Christ, He is in me. The Bible said, Christ in you. Some of you haven't been aware yet that you are a tabernacle. This body. I want to give you a little warning. I think you better take what I'm about to say real serious. God said, you defile that tabernacle, and I'll destroy it. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you look at me like I'm reading out of the Sears Roebuck catalog. God said, I live in there. Think about that just a minute. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. Take them down. Now think real seriously just a minute. The day you got born again, Christ moved in. He's in there right now. You can hug him if you want to. He's in there. And wherever you go, he goes with you. So one of these days when you think nobody ain't watching you real good and you can go sneaking into a place you oughtn't to be, he's in there and he's watching you. Well, he said, don't bother me. That means you must not be saved. It bothers me when I do wrong. It bothers me if I went somewhere I wasn't supposed to go. It bothers me if I was angry and mad at you all the time. It bothers me if I quit reading my Bible. It bothers me if I quit giving to the cause of Christ. Somebody said, why? Christ in me. He's in there right now. He sees out of my eyes. He talks out of my mouth. Oh, friend, Christ is in you. I heard a man another say, oh, I've got a bad temper. Buddy, I told him off. Hold it. He's in there. Oh, if folks could just realize this Christianity doesn't crank up on Sunday morning and close down on Sunday night. When you got born again, transformed, made new, become a new creature in Christ, this is not a Sunday morning and Sunday night thing or a Wednesday night thing. This is a 7-day, 24-hour day thing. Hello? Oh, first time I was born, I was a sinner. I was a sinner by inheritance. My mother was a sinner. My daddy was a sinner. In the sense that they were, the Bible said, by one man's sin, all become sinners. That's old brother Adam. He sold us down the river. Boy, I tell you, I preached twice then. Can't get stopped. See, I don't care what you say tonight. I don't care how good your mom and daddy was, and they praise the Lord for them if they were. But you got Adam's blood in your birth. And you didn't have to. Listen, a lot of folks think that, drinking whiskey makes you a sinner. No. It's you being a sinner that makes you drink whiskey. Huh? That's what makes you a sinner. No, that's not what makes you a sinner. You do these things because you are a sinner. And this old body that we live in, do you know why you fly off of the handle? This old flask is cranked up. Do you know why you and your wife have fusses? And don't lie. It's because you still live in the house of flesh. Did you ever say something just as sweet, husband or wife, whichever? Hello, honey. Isn't this a good day? What's good about it? Get your head up, Joe. Did you ever just be going along, driving your automobile, singing Amazing Grace? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, some dumb turkey pulls right out in front of you. He should have known you was in a hurry. He should have known you had to pay the light bill. He didn't know that. He pulled out in front of me. Honk, 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 honk. You know what you know? Your horn cussing. You come up by the side of him and shake your fist at him and go by him, and on your back bumper it said, Jesus saves. Now you're not going to escape this flash as long as you live. It'll be there. But the Bible said we're more than conquerors. See, the thing about it is you've not worked on that temper enough. You have not prayed about it enough. the bad habits you have. You've tried to quit, but you haven't let God help you with it. Amen. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory. We're more than conquerors. We're not just a plain old conqueror. We're more than conquerors. I was sitting this morning, and my wife, she won't tell you, and I won't either. There was a fella came on the television, and did you know it's dangerous to watch television now? I mean from the preaching point of view. And there was a fella came on, and I knew before he started. I knew he was out in left field. Lord God, he's way out in left field. But he was on a subject that, boy, I mean, he done rung my bell the first time. And he's a smart man in some areas. I wouldn't recommend him to a young Christian to listen to because he's so mixed up in so many ways. You wouldn't know when to spit the bones out. You'd just swallow bone and all. But did you know, sometimes God will let you get a handful of honey out of a carcass of a lion, a dead lion. He did Samson. So this morning I had honey all over my face listening to a fella. I had spit out a lot of bones, but he had a lot of good too. Oh, friend, get off of your self-righteous high horse and realize that your first birth was just an old sinful being. But the only thing you are what you are now, if it's any good at all, it's because of the second birth. The transforming power of the Holy Ghost. That's all it is. You know, sometimes we get self-exalted. Oh, that's so easy. Some of the most dangerous things you could ever do in the world is pat somebody on the back and tell them how good they are. Because they'll start believing it real fast. Start believing it real fast. I saw a young preacher here a while back in, or when I was out still on the road. It's been 6 months now. And the first time I saw him, he squalled, humble as a dog. Oh, just humble, oh God help. I mean, just sweet, oh Lord God help. Oh God, whoa. The next time I saw him, Brother Eddie, I could have puked. Almost did. Somebody had bragged on that boy too much. If there's anything as a Christian, I'm not talking about, if you say I'm humble, then that tells me you're not. If you think you're humble, then that tells me you're not. Humility is not something you go around blowing your own horn about. If I were to give advice to anybody, I'd say this. Always realize your help cometh from the Lord. You're nothing. There's nothing good in you except Christ. In you that is your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Stop thinking of yourself in an exalted manner and humble yourself in the presence of Almighty God, and He'll lift you up. Let your flesh be crucified. See yourself in your nothingness. See yourself in your total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Total dependence. You can't sing. You can't preach. You can't pray. The Bible said emphatically, without Him, we can't do nothing. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now, I don't know whether you regret giving your precious gift for a computer now or not, but I say to you, my dear friend, rejoice in the fact that you were saved out of sin and placed into sainthood by the Lord Jesus Christ. You were saved in darkness and got over in light. You were saved in bitterness and God sweetens you up. Amen? Thank God for that. Bless this wonderful name. Now the question is this, and this is the most important question you'll ever have to answer. Has that transforming work of the power of the Holy Ghost done that marvelous work in your heart? Let me ask you, assuredly, has Christ and does Christ live inside of you? Are you conscious that He's in there right now? He is. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want him to come to the instrument, please. I'm not going to linger this service any longer. There may be some poor old sinner. Maybe you've got religion. Maybe you just... Let me tell you this. I got a call. Well, I called some folks, some friends of mine, up north of Knoxville the other day. And I've been praying for a lady's brother. And I called to see how things were. And the preacher said, her husband said, let my wife talk to you. She's got something to tell you. I said, wonderful. I have never experienced a more excited soul than this lady was when she was telling me about her brother. He went in the bedroom the other night to kill himself. And while he was in there, God answered our prayers. God answered our prayers. And now listen to me. From what she told me, I am dying to see him. I'm just dying to see him. She said, preacher, he come out of that bedroom. His kids didn't even know him. His wife said, what in the world has happened to him? She said that he walks down the street praying and shouting. He's out on the street. He was out in the yard to praising the Lord. She said he won't sleep. He won't sleep. Said it's the greatest. And she said he'll walk up to a crowd of people he don't even know and never saw in his life and start telling about Jesus and they melt like a snowball. She said his face literally shines. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody just got saved. Now, the thing about it is, we're in such a religious age that a lot of folks don't know what I'm talking about. You don't even know what I'm talking about. There's a man that got saved and God transformed his life and made him new. Play softly. One time, there was a man that had a little boy, him and his wife, and he was an extremely wealthy man. Wealthy beyond anything you could imagine. His wife died, and so it fell his lot to raise the little boy. The man was a lover of beautiful artwork, beautiful paintings. And he instilled this love for paintings into his son. Oh, he and his son could sit for hours and look at beautiful artwork. Rembrandt, all the great artists. This boy loved it. One day, in a time of war, our country called this young man to service. He went in. And while he was in service on the battlefield, he met a young man. They become real good friends. And one day, this young man, this rich young man, was killed on the battlefield. The dad received the news that his son was dead. One day there was a knock came at the door, and the dad went to the door. And there standing at the door was a young soldier with a package under his arm. He introduced himself to that grieving dad and said, I was your son's friend. I was his buddy. And said, sir, my heart still grieves for your son, my buddy. But said, I'm not much of a painter. I don't do good work, but said, I painted a portrait from memory of your son. They went in and placed this picture on an easel. And here was this son, dad's son that this young soldier had painted. Oh, he didn't stand up to Rembrandt and some of the other great painters. But that dad loved that painting. And he held it and put it in a place of prominence on the wall. Eventually, the man died. And the lawyers was going to auction off everything. Everything was going to be auctioned off. Everything was going to be auctioned off. Everything. So the auctioneer, the first thing he done was claim the painting that that young soldier painted and stood it on an easel in front of that crowd that recognized great art, that knew it, that, oh, they could describe every paint stroke from great artists. And they were insulted that they would be exposed to such an awful painting as that young man had done in the light of all the great paintings that were hanging in the halls and all over it. And they said, bring us out something that's good. That's trash. That's nothing to that. And the lawyer said, no, sir. We've been instructed that this must go to sale first. This must be the first thing. Ah, it's no good. And back in the back was standing a man, a gardener, that had worked for this man and his son for all these years. And the gardener said, I'll bid, I believe it was $25. That's all I got, but I'd like to have it. And the crowd screamed out and said, let him have it. Give it to him for $25 so we can get on with the sale. The man brought the gavel down and said, sold for $25. And the next breath he said, the auction's over. Over? What do you mean it's over? And then the lawyer said, my instructions are, that whoever buys the picture of the son gets everything. So it's your choice tonight. He that takes the son gets everything. He that received the son, for as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I was born in rags and graduated my second time into riches. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. He that gets the Son gets everything. He that takes the Son gets everything. I wonder if there's a soul here tonight that'll raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Christ. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to hell. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I'm not going to linger. I'm just going to say this and give you the opportunity. Is there a soul here right now that'll say, pray for me? I'm lost. Our Father, thank you for another opportunity to preach. Oh, God, it's been good. I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you for a time to tell about the Son. Thank you for that. Now, God, if there's somebody you're lost, I pray they'll be saved. If there's a backslider, I pray they'll come home to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Sing it.